This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. And Happy New Year. I want to excite us and get our blood flowing. There's just too much calmness in here today. We need to change that. So we're going to do the Christmas thing. I'm going to say Happy New Year, and I want you all to scream at me, Happy New Year. Kate's saying, no, don't do that. Don't scream, but just be very loud. Do you think we can be loud? I do this with our preschoolers, and I try to get them to be as loud as possible, and it really, really excites them when we do that. Okay, you ready? Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
That's, all right, that's pretty good. Well done. Are you feeling it now? Are we alive? The blood's flowing. Let's talk about God. I want to share a story that most of you have heard. I want to frame it differently, though, and I'm coming to realize in my time as a pastor that this story was a mystical experience that I had. And when I say it's a mystical experience, what I mean is that everything was elevated in this moment when it happened. And I am so certain even to this day that God was present. That time just seemed to disappear, and with an absolute certainty, something divine was happening in this moment. God was speaking to me. And this is the story of going to the National Youth Gathering in 2009. I went as a volunteer to help take busloads of kids to different service projects throughout New Orleans. And one day, after being outside painting a school all day in 100% humidity with about 90 degree temperature, I was completely fried. And the bus took us back into downtown New Orleans, and I walked about 2 miles from where the bus dropped us off at the Superdome to the New Orleans Convention Center. And I got to the convention center, and my feet were completely aching, my body was exhausted, and I sat down on the floor in the convention center to just rest, because I needed it so badly. And while I was sitting there resting, I looked up, and I saw my pastor from back home in Covina, California, and he was talking to my trainer, who happened to be a pastor in Nebraska, and there was another pastor from some other part of the country there. And these three pastors were talking to each other like they'd known each other forever, despite being separated by so much distance. And while I thought that was kind of cool, then I looked over and I noticed that the high schoolers from my home congregation in Covina were just a short distance away talking to this other group of high schoolers from another part of the country, and then talking to the group that I had just brought back from the service project, also from another part of the country. And suddenly this shift just happened right in this moment. And it almost seemed like the environment illuminated itself. And I realized there were all of these people separated by all of this distance, completely connected to each other in this moment. That suddenly geography or location or background, none of that mattered. And all of these people were completely connected to each other. And I was so certain that I was looking at God. It was one of the most profound experiences I have ever had in my entire life. And I remember after witnessing this and just feeling it in the depths of my body, saying to myself, I have to be a part of this community in a bigger way than I have been. And I got home and applied for seminary, finished up some college stuff, and a year later I was in Chicago. It was that moment right there that propelled me to become a pastor. That moment, that mystical experience that I had, that moment where God was present with me, has kept me fulfilled from that day all the way to this day, right here. I can still feel that feeling right now. And I'm glad, because I need to remember that. I need to go back into that space, into that feeling. Because there are times where I feel so disconnected, so isolated, and so lonely. And I've shared this before, being a pastor's a lonely job, despite being with people all the time. And I have to remember back to this moment, this feeling of divine connection that caused me to want to be a pastor in the first place. See, I have become fundamentally convinced that the goal of God for all of us, God's purpose for all of us, is connection. Connection with God, connection with each other, connection with creation. That God's will for our lives is this constant pull, bringing us in union with God and with each other and with life itself around us. And this is what God is constantly trying to get us to wake up and do. And everything about our faith and theology and doctrine, it all relates to this some way. That God is just constantly trying to help us realize how connected we are to each other as human beings. We get this verse today in John's Gospel, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. I really believe that John is describing this process for all of us where we awaken to this union in the world, this divine union that God is trying to open our eyes to. And the Bible, honestly, it is rife with different verses about this connection that we have. And John's Gospel is one of the best. Listen to this. Everything came into being through him, and not one thing came into being without him. I think we miss how powerful this sentence is. Everything we've ever known, all of life around us, every person we have ever known or heard of, came into being through him. It's not just that things were created by him, as though an artist might create a piece of art, but literally through Christ, through the very divine being, all of life, and that is an absolute term, all of life was created through him. That is John's big, profound way of saying that every single one of us is connected, that the divine exists in every single one of us sitting here in this room and every single person outside of this building, but not just humanity, all of life itself. The trees, the hills, the valleys, every creature, every creepy crawling thing, all of it came into being through him. And every single one of us is connected to all of that life in this big, giant, divine web. And I truly believe that God is just constantly trying to open our eyes so that we can see it and realize it and become aware of it and mostly experience it. As I said, the Bible is rife with all of these verses describing this connection, and this scripture, this ancient scripture of ours, it's been around for thousands of years. And it's only in the last 100 or so years that all of the other fields are catching up to this truth. When we look at physics tells us that, and this was my Christmas Eve sermon, every single one of us is comprised of the same material. The stars and the galaxies are each and every one of you. You are made from the same exact thing as the stars in the sky. But not only that, physics looks at on the quantum level, the microscopic, what you really can't see, and has discovered that quantum particles interact with us. Light, for example, when light knows that it's being observed, it changes the way that it moves. These things that we can't even see that exist between us, physics is finally starting to see as this connection that exists. Not just to us, but to the entire universe. Psychology is showing that all of the research we've done on addiction is wrong. And really the best thing anyone can do to combat addiction is to respond to this perpetual loneliness and isolation that people are experiencing. And that when people are more connected, when communities are more communal, when people genuinely lift each other up and don't allow one of their members to just disappear off in isolation, addiction rates, depression, anxiety, they plummet. And biology has shown us that our brains are wired to be in tribes, to be in communities, to be connected with each other. Science is finally revealing what Scripture has always said, is that we as human beings are meant to be in communion with each other and with nature. And again, I think, honestly, as your pastor, as someone who has studied Scripture relentlessly, this is what God is trying to pull us into always and constantly, to realize how connected with each other we are. You know, while the church and while spirituality and while faith should be responses to this, while these should be things that are helping us experience and facilitate this connection better, for a very long time it hasn't done this. In fact, religion has tended to facilitate more disconnection and isolation and loneliness. By creating this idea that there's in-groups and out-groups, that there's the saved and the unsaved, that there's the righteous and the corrupt. Religion for so long has given us language that has allowed us to compartmentalize human beings into us versus them. I don't know about you, but for a long time I've read John's prologue, this gospel reading today, as this exclusive reading, this thing that is meant to do just that, create an in-group and an out-group. And when John uses this phrase, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, for a long time I thought, well, that means everybody who believes in God versus everybody who doesn't. It wasn't until I got into seminary and realized that John's using a Greek word that we translate into believe that we don't really understand. The word that he used, we typically think of as a noun, as a conscious acceptance of God or Jesus. But rather, the Greek is a verb. It's an action. Our belief in God and in Christ is not shown in just coming out and saying, yes, I believe in God, but it's in how we follow Jesus, how we care for others, those who are marginalized or oppressed or isolated or lonely, the people at the fringes of society. Jesus was constantly traveling throughout the countryside, trying to break down the barriers that separated people and to help his own humanity in that time realize how connected they were. And if anyone's going to say that they believe in God, it's not just simply in saying that they believe, but in following and acting and facilitating those connections too. And I'll tell you, folks, non-Christians do this really, really well a lot of the time. We've had these powers and principalities throughout Western society that have shaped our theology in ways that support this disconnection and prevent us from not only seeing, but experiencing God in so many different ways. By facilitating this disconnection throughout life, we've seen the worst elements in humanity. We've experienced disconnection from creation, from not realizing that God inhibits even the trees and the blades of grass, and because of that disconnection, we either look away when our planet is being destroyed, or worse, we help facilitate it. We miss this connection with human beings. We've been told that there's the select group of saved people, and then there's everybody else. And because of this disconnection, we have awful things like racism and xenophobia and war and violence. And we've even allowed ourselves to become disconnected from ourselves by being told at our very essence, we are bad, we are sinful, we are deserving of God's wrath. And so we can't even tap into loving ourselves in realizing that the very first thing God does is in creation is to declare that it's very good. And because of this disconnection, we've fallen into destructive behaviors, addiction, lust, sex, ways that we harm ourselves because we've been so disconnected from how loved we inherently are. We need a shift. And I think I want you to start at that point today is to just realize, yes, we need a shift. Something needs to change. We need to start looking at the world differently. We have to realize that God is not just pulling in a select group of people, but that God is pulling in all of creation into this divine web. We need to open our eyes and witness this connection in different ways. I want to share a very short story real quick. This is by a 20th century Christian mystic, Carol Houselander, and this comes from her book, A Rocking Horse Catholic. And I want you to just picture this scene as I read it. She writes, "I was in an underground train, a crowded train in which all sorts of people jostled together, sitting and strap-hanging, workers of every description going home at the end of the day. Quite suddenly I saw with my mind, but as vividly as a wonderful picture, Christ in them all. But I saw more than that. Not only was Christ in every one of them, living in them, dying in them, rejoicing in them, sorrowing in them, but because he was in them and because they were here, the whole world was here too, here in this underground train. Not only the world as it was at that moment, not only all the people in all the countries of the world, but all those people who had lived in the past and all those yet to come. I came out into the street and walked for a long time in the crowds. It was the same here, on every side, in every passerby, everywhere, Christ. Christ is everywhere. In him, every kind of life has a meaning and has an influence on every other kind of life. It is not the foolish sinner like myself running about the world with reprobates and feeling magnanimous who comes closest to them and brings them healing. It is the contemplative in her cell who has never set eyes on them, but in whom Christ fasts and prays for them. Or it may be a charwoman in whom Christ makes himself a servant again, or a king whose crown of gold hides a crown of thorns. Realization of your oneness in Christ is the only cure for human loneliness. For me too, it is the only ultimate meaning of life. The only thing that gives meaning and purpose to every life. Today is the first Sunday of the new year. And this is the time where we all make new commitments. I don't know how many of you have New Year's resolutions this year. I don't have any because I've got a child coming in 3 weeks, and that's all I'm thinking about. But as far as commitments for ourselves today as Christians, as believers and followers in Jesus, what if we resolved to view the world this way? What if we just said, from this point moving forward, we're going to choose to see how connected we are. We're going to choose to walk out of those doors and look at every single life form, whether it's people or creation, and see the Christ in them. What if we choose to stop letting society and the powers and principalities disconnect us, and rather respond to this divine pull and see how connected we really are? What if we choose to see God in all of creation? Maybe we would stop destroying creation, destroying God, and actually go outside and experience God in this incredibly beautiful valley we live in. What if we choose to see God in all of humanity? We might actually end things like racism and violence and warfare. What if we choose to see God in us? I think we might actually start loving ourselves, our whole selves, all of us, just as we are. And then we might truly learn to love others too. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.